Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 38 through 42. And by the way, we still have copies of John Ortberg's study book. If you want to plug into a small group, there are still opportunities for you to plug in during the week. There are a number of options for you. I'll be glad to help you find one that you would fit with and that you could fit in with your schedule. Also, I have ordered some more copies of the companion book that goes along with this study. If you would like a copy of that to read and to follow along, whether you're in a group or not, please see me and I'll get a copy to you. In Luke chapter 10, we have a familiar story. By the way, you have a bulletin insert with some fill-in-the-blanks and some outline notes to take notes and follow along. In Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." John Ortberg, who wrote our book that we're studying, God is Closer Than You Think, has told a story about a relative of his, a young woman and her husband, who had an older home, had bought an older home a few years ago and were fixing it up. And when the husband was going up to the attic during one of those fix-up days, he found an old paper bag. Knowing it wasn't something that they put there, out of curiosity, he decided to look inside the bag. And there was money in the bag. In fact, lots of it. Thousands and thousands of dollars. A couple looked at the dates on the bills, and they were all from decades ago. And the bag had been up there apparently for ages. There was no way to track down who put it there first, if it was a miser's savings or leftover from a bank heist. Couldn't tell. And so the husband said to his wife, "What are the ethics of this? What should we do with this?" And John's relative, the woman, the wife, replied, "Maybe we should call John." The husband paused for a moment and said, "No, he's a pastor. He'll tell us to give it back." So they decided to call a lawyer so they wouldn't get any ethical advice at all. Sorry, Jackie and Pam. It's what it says here. Anyhow, and he said they could keep it. They did end up calling John anyway, and he also said that they could keep it as long as they tithed to the pastor that they were related to. Anyhow, the strange thing was that someone had put this treasure in their attic and somehow forgotten it was there. If you can imagine that being a possibility. Just think about all the other owners between then and now living in the house for years. Imagine the flood of financial obligations and crises that existed during those times. Bills, mortgage payments, taxes, and debts. There were no doubt some sleepless nights and anxious moments in the house because of financial concerns. And the whole time, being there was a treasure in the house. Well, here's the point of John's story. There was a huge gap between the riches available to these people and the reality in which they lived. They never made any effort to go up into the attic. They never saw the treasure. The reality for many people today is that there is a gap between what they are experiencing in their relationship with God and what they know they could be experiencing. It's as though they're living and walking around the house knowing that there is a treasure in the attic, but it is a treasure that they have rarely, if ever, experienced. They know that there's something more, but haven't been willing to make the effort to go upstairs to find out. The choice is theirs, and they haven't even made the choice to be with God. Last week we talked about God's great desire to be with us, and we talked about ever since the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve, God desires to be with us. He's expressed it to us in so many different ways. And even with his desire to be near to you and to me, there is a choice that we have to make. That is to close the gap. God is closer than you think, yet we need to choose to go up to the attic, so to speak, and to draw close to God, bridging the gap. Today, we're going to consider our part in this gap bridging, the choice that we are called to make every day of our lives. Actually, this choice, the subject today, is three choices in one, and the most important choices that you could ever make. First of all, we have the choice to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. As our Savior and Lord. It's almost like the mazes that you have games with on paper with your children and grandchildren, and you're supposed to find your way through this maze, and it says, start here. Well, we need to begin here in our relationship with Christ. Jesus invites you to be his friend. He comes to us as a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, after all. He desires to be close to us. But wait, there's more. Jesus comes to us as Savior. He desires to be our Savior because all of us have a problem. All of us have a sin problem. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we need to figure out a way to close that gap between our sin and God's holiness. Jesus came to be that bridge. He came to bridge the gap with his all-sufficient death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins by God's amazing grace and mercy. He comes to make a way, the only way of forgiveness and reconciliation with God, a pardon for our sin. And so Jesus comes with the invitation to come and receive him as our Savior and our Lord. Choose to repent and receive Christ today, if you haven't already, as your Lord and your leader. Jesus comes to us today in these moments and says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and fellowship with him. Because as Jesus says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. It's up to us to receive this gift of salvation, this gift of eternal life, and receive Christ. That's where we start. That's the beginning of all of this discussion. And it's a great treasure. It's better than any earthly treasure that you can imagine. The second part of this choice is to choose to draw near to God daily, every day, 24/7, growing in a relationship. any relationship that you have. You need to spend time together with that person to continue to grow and not just sustain and maintain it, but to grow and build on that, whether it's your marriage relationship or your relationship with your parents, your children. Christianity is way more than a religion. It's a relationship by God's design. And we need to spend time with Him every day through prayer, through scripture reading, through worship, through fellowship. And yet it's a choice. It's a daily choice. Do I really want to do this? We have to choose. In our story that I read from Luke chapter 10, Mary chose the better choice, Jesus said. You remember Martha? In verse 41, as I read, Martha, Martha, you were worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Kind of sounds like Billy Crystal in City Slickers. Remember that one thing he was looking for in the middle of, well, anyhow, forget that. One thing is needed, Martha. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken away from her. Here's the treasure. As Jesus told the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew chapter 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for goodly pearls, and when he found the pearl of great price, he sold all that he owned and bought that one pearl. Such it is with our relationship with Christ, the kingdom of God wrapped up in relationship, the salvation of our souls wrapped up in closing the gap on a daily basis. There's the treasure for our souls. But wait, there's more. Ever see those commercials? Infomercials? If you haven't been moved yet, wait, there's more. The choice doesn't end here. Jesus is close 24/7, not just in our spiritual and devotional moments. We tend to draw distinctions between the secular and the sacred in our lives. Yes, we're with Jesus when we're praying, when we're in church. But the reality is that He invites us to see all of life as holy, as sacred, in His presence. Whatever we're doing, we don't have to be praying to be in His presence, to be close to Him. It can be in everything that we do, in every part of life. Choose to experience Him in every part of life. There's the third choice. We must choose to be with Him and to experience His presence in every part of life. Some of you will remember you remember a story, books called Where's Waldo? You remember that? Those books where the author would put all kinds of chaotic pictures of things, including dinosaurs and sea serpents and so forth, and everything. And there were outrageous pictures of people, and we had to look on every page and find Waldo, this geeky, nerdy kind of guy with a striped hat and glasses. Remember Waldo? And wasn't easy always to find. If it was easy, it wouldn't be fun. My kids and grandkids are fascinated, and I love going back to them even now. Where's Waldo? Well, sometimes God is with us on every page, and yet we have to look for Him. Sometimes, here's a different piece of art, right? Waldo compared to Michelangelo's creation. Last week we talked about the Sistine Chapel ceiling. Well, not quite as sophisticated, but nonetheless, the same basic point. As we seek the Lord, as we search for Him. He promises that we can find Him. Seek and you shall find, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said, I tell you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. That fabulous promise in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29 verses 11 and 12. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Such an important promise to the people of Israel under God's judgment just before the exile in the Old Testament. God offers hope in these words. And then he says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Good news to all of us, every one of us, no matter what our situation in our lives today. A number of years ago, we did a 50-day spiritual adventure in which we were daily journaling and chronicling God hunt sightings. We were learning to discern God's presence in every day. And so for these 40 days of Lent, 5 years ago, we were watching, we were looking, we were discovering God hunt sightings. And there were four different categories, types of God hunt sightings. Let me refresh your memory if you were around back then. For example, in fact, I'll illustrate them with things in my life just last Sunday. Last Sunday, I had an example of each one of these types of God hunt sightings. An obvious answer to prayer. An obvious answer to prayer is a God hunt sighting. God shows up on this page of our lives today. Last week, Terry and Nancy Penrod came into the second service and they had just received a text from their cousins and relatives that the niece or nephew, I'm sorry, of Nancy's nephew had been in a serious car accident just a few moments before that, and it was a very serious accident, and they were concerned. It didn't seem good, according to the text. And even before we finished our prayer time in that service, they received a second text that said, he's okay. An answer to prayer. Just there in that morning, as we had started to pray together, we praise the Lord for answered prayers. Even then, God doesn't always answer us the way we expect, but he always answers. We need to be watching and thankful for those answers. Another type of God hunt sightings is an unexpected evidence of God's care. Sometimes, even when we're not expecting, God drops blessings into our lives. Last week, as you guys celebrated my birthday, it was a marvelous blessing of an encouragement to me to have this big birthday card signed by all of you. And I thought, wow, I wasn't expecting that, but God's encouragement was a blessing through you guys. And so that was an example of a tangible blessing. A third type of God hunt sighting is an unusual linkage in timing. You might call it a coincidence. I call them divine coincidences, where just at a certain time, something happens that is fortuitous and providential. For example, last Sunday, as some of us went out to lunch to celebrate my birthday, we landed at Turning Point Restaurant for lunch after church, and Sue Hager was there. And She was there by herself, and she happened to arrive while we're waiting, and we said, "Are you sitting with anybody?" "No." "Well, join us." What a great thing. All of a sudden, God dropped us together in this situation, unpremeditated lunch together. I have no idea why God designed it that way, but I choose to believe that God did that for her encouragement or our encouragement, or the blessings of fellowship just happened, so to speak. I don't believe in luck. I believe God ordains and arranges these things. The unusual linkage or timing is a God hunt sighting. And a fourth type of God hunt sighting, remember from our adventure, is help to do God's work in the world. We see God at work as He works in us to give us the enabling, the help to do His work in the world. And again, just last Sunday, we were in our small group Sunday evening study, and a couple of people had been to Lexington House that day and observed this particularly grumpy resident. And so they reached out to her, and through the context of these conversations, before she left that day, she warmed and even asked to receive a Bible, which is remarkable in that context. What a blessing. God and these friends in my study were rejoicing that God had used them to be in ministry there at Lexington House. God shows up even when we're not expecting. Look for Him to show up. Open your eyes to see the many ways in which God shows Himself to be in our everyday experience. David Maines, in his book on God hunt sightings, says, "We often fail to see because we don't realize how active God is. But if we see His hand protecting and directing and adjusting and tweaking our lives, it's easier to trust Him and enjoy His presence." From now until the end of this Lenten season, watch for God. Watch for God every day. These are times when God works in and touches our daily world, and we choose to recognize it as Him. By faith, some people would write it off and say, "Oh, well, that's just a coincidence." By faith, we can say, "I choose to see this as the hand of God." Again, look at the indications of God's involvement in different ways. In this book by John Ortberg, he talks about different types of days. For example, sometimes God blesses us in what He calls rainbow days, days in which God is so evidently involved, so plainly revealing Himself. It's like His covenant sign to Noah. There in the book of Genesis, remember God said, "I will be with you, and I will never again flood the earth and destroy the earth through a flood." Some days are like that. It's hard to miss. But other days, what Ortberg calls the ordinary days, days in which we're going along not really aware of His presence. We live in a natural plane of things, but there is always spiritual, supernatural realities all around us. And God needs to open our eyes to see on ordinary days that He is with us. Ordinary days, we're just plodding along as usual, business as usual. There's also don't look at me days, days in which we'd rather not be aware of God's presence, Ortberg says. It's kind of like Dallas Willard tells the story in one of his books of this 2-year-old playing and making mud pies. She's saying warm chocolate, right? And grandma says, "No, don't make a mess. Don't be doing that." And this little girl goes on doing it anyhow and says, "Mom, don't look at me." And for some reason, my mom agrees. I don't know whether it's codependency or what, but she turns her back and says, okay, okay. And my mom, don't look at me. Sometimes we're like that with God when we'd rather do what we want to do. We'd rather do things that He desires us not to do. We live our own way, go our own way, and say, not today, Lord, don't look at me now. Well, that's another example of God with us, even when we don't want Him. Hide and seek, just like the Garden of Eden. Adam was having one of those don't look at me days. Adam and Eve, when they went into hiding, they had sinned, they had disobeyed God. Don't look at me, God. We have those kind of days. But we know that God is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have the promise of His presence always and everywhere. And that presence brings grace. It also brings accountability, but it brings support, blessing, peace, love, even in the difficult times. The choice is up to you and to me. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you invited Him to come into your heart, accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? It starts there. And do you build on that relationship every day with friendship and fellowship through prayer and scripture reading? Do you invite His presence with you on every page of your life, in every area of life? Not just your church life, not just your devotional spiritual life, but in your recreations, in your work, in your home, in your family, in all of your other relationships, is Jesus not just there, but is He Lord of every area, on every page of your life? God's choice is clear. He's reaching out to you, stretching intensively, intent on being with you. But He leaves it up to you and to me to lift a finger, as we said last week, to bridge the gap and to close the gap, to choose to be with Him. God is closer than you think. It's true. This week, look for Him. Look for Him everywhere. As we sang, "This is my Father's world. In the rustling grass I see Him pass. I see His presence everywhere." Watch for Him. Look for Him. Celebrate Him. Know the warmth of His care for you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity to come and fellowship with You and be reminded of Your great desire for relationship with us. Oh Lord, I pray for those, perhaps one here this morning, who has never personally began a relationship with You, never invited You to come and be a real part of their lives. I pray that even now You would be awakening, birthing faith in their heart and mind, that they may come to You. Even now, opening the door of their heart for You to come in. And Lord, help us to not be so wrapped up with the busyness for the worries and cares of this world that Your presence gets blocked out, that somehow we miss You. Lord, come and reveal Yourself to us. Make Yourself known. Make it plain today, tomorrow, and every day, that we might be filled with joy and thankfulness, be filled with a desire to walk with You and talk with You, filled with a need to see You here everywhere. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.